नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण. रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 32. तास्तास्तम सविग्न मनसोथ पुरस्कृतार्वहा कायम निधाय भुवि भूतपतिं प्रणेमुः साद्यः कृताञ्जलिपुता क्षमलस्य भर्तुर्मोक्षेप्सवः शरणदं शरणं प्रपन्नः. Their minds very much disturbed, those saintly ladies placed their children before them and then bowed down to the Lord of all creatures. Laying their bodies flat upon the ground, they desired the liberation of their sinful husband and the shelter of the Supreme Lord, the giver of ultimate shelter, and thus they folded their hands in supplication and approached him. Text number 33. Nagapatnya uchuhu nyayo hi danda krita kilvishes nyayo hi danda krita kilvishesmim tavavatarah khala nigrahaya रिपोसुतानाम अपितुल्य दृष्टिर तत्सेदमं फलम एवानुशंसन. Translation: The wives of the Kalia serpent said, "The punishment this offender has been subjected to is certainly just. After all, you have incarnated within this world to curb down envious and cruel persons. You are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons. For when you impose a punishment on a living being, you know it to be for his ultimate benefit." Om adhyanit mirandhasya jnananjana shalakya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So 34th verse is also there, so I'll read that. Anugraho yam bhavata krito hino dando satam ke khalu kalmashapaha yaddanda suk सुखत्वम अमुष्यदेहिन क्रोधो पितिग्नुग्रह एव सम्मतः. What you have done here is actually mercy for us, since the punishment you give to the wicked certainly drives away all their contamination. Indeed, because this conditioned soul, our husband, is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a serpent, your anger towards him is obviously to be understood as your mercy. Purport: Srila Madhvacharya points out in this connection that when a pious person suffers in this world, he realizes the punishment the Supreme Lord is meting out to me is actually his causeless mercy. Envious persons, however, even after being punished by the Lord for their purification, continue to be envious of him and be resentful, and this attitude is the reason for their continued failure to understand the absolute truth. Hare Krishna. So, in the past weeks, we have been seeing, hearing a lot of sweet nectar flowing from the lotus mouths of the wonderful devotees who have been speaking on this Kalia Daman Leela. In fact, last 2-3 days I've been hearing, and in fact since so many days, this Leela of Krishna subduing Kalia has been going on, and it's indeed very amazing to see that how one particular pastime of the Lord can have so many different perspectives. And there's no question of monotony. So much of variety, so relishable. One pastime. So this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the pastimes of the Lord is unlimited, and the pastimes of the Lord is sweet and nectarine. That's why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, it's a verse which says, Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam tadeva shashvan manoso mahutsavam tadeva shokaranava shoshanam nadam taduttamo shloka yashonugiyat. That the Lord's pastimes are unlimited, and they are the source of constant joy to the minds of devotees. It's very relishable, very sweet. For I have been hearing, even last, in Sunday, Prabhu gives a class, Bhagavatam class, and then I was just wondering, so much was spoken about Lord Shiva. What will the Sunday feast lecturer speak on Lord Shiva, since so much has already been covered, and then again there's so much a flow of nectar. So sweet, so wonderful. I was so rejuvenated by hearing all these wonderful realizations of devotees, different perspectives of pastimes of the Lord. So this pastime, particular pastime of Krishna subduing Kalia, is approaching its conclusion in one sense. Lot has been spoken. Previous speakers have already given a lot of teachings from this pastime. So I will try to contribute in a little way. Not sure how much I can, since a lot has already been spoken. Also, today is the disappearance day of two great acharyas in our Gaudiya Parampara, Rasikananda Prabhu and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So I'll try to speak a little bit from their lives also. So Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu, he quotes Harivamsh Puran, and he says that the Kalia Daman Leela took place before Dhenukasur Leela, before Krishna killed Dhenukasur. So Shukdev Goswami, when he spoke this Leela, he has not mentioned it chronologically. And Harivamsh explains, Harivamsh Puran explains why it is so. Because he wanted to club the Gocharan Leela together, and therefore Dhenukasur Leela, which took place, Krishna subduing Dhenukasur, took place or mentioned in the Bhagavatam before Kaliya Daman. So that is one information. So here we see that the wives of Kaliya, who unlike Kaliya are devotees, they were great Vaishnavas, and after Krishna has subdued and tamed Kaliya by dancing on his hoods, and when the Nagapatnis, the Vaishnav wives of Kaliya, when they see that Kaliya has been sufficiently subdued, at that time they pray to Lord Krishna for forgiveness on behalf of Kaliya. So previously it was mentioned, the history of Kaliya was already mentioned. This Kaliya, who is living in Vrindavan, this very deadly 1,000 hooded snake, was in fact in his past life a great rishi, a great tapasvi, and a very learned shastri. His name was Vedashir, and he was doing tapasya in his hermitage, and one day he was approached by another great devotee. His name was Ashvashir. And he wanted to be accommodated in the cottage of Vedashir. He wanted some assistance in accommodation. He changed his place of residence. He shifted, he moved his residence. He wanted a place to do his tapasya. So he thought that Vedashir will be kind enough to extend that courtesy. So he was a guest. So Vedashir, he was such a great scholar, but unfortunately, he was materially attached. He had us, that material attachment, and he did not welcome Ashvashir. So Ashvashir was offended, severely offended. And Ashvashir cursed Vedashir to be born as a snake. Vedashir also cursed Ashvashir to become a crow. And this happened in the age of Swayambhuva Manu, which is 1.65 billion years ago. And all that while, Vedashir has been living in the body of a snake. So we can understand the consequence, the grave consequences of negligence of a basic principle of guest reception. It is something which is so basic that it could be overlooked. He has a guest coming over and he's impersonal, he's not liking it so much, and he makes a fuss and he gets cursed. So we can understand that this material attachment, it's quite possible to linger, to be found even in great souls like Vedashir. Such a great Vedic scholar, but he is not free from material attachment. So here is a warning in the Srimad Bhagavatam that how careful we should be to guard against Vaishnav Aparad, which springs from material attachment. So this is the teaching which we get very strongly in Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a great scholar is now living in Vrindavan as a serpent, as a snake. So because of Vaishnava Aparad, because of offense. So when they start fighting against each other, Vedashir and Ashvashir are cursing each other, who will come to mediate? Because they are both Vaishnavas. So certainly when two devotees fight, a senior devotee has to come. Now in this case, because they were so exalted, none other than Lord Vishnu personally appeared to mediate. And what does the Lord say? The Lord raises his hand and he says, I cannot overturn your judgment. The curse that you have given, the words that you have spoken cannot be overturned even by me. I cannot. I can go against my own word, but I cannot go against the word of my devotees. So what has been spoken is spoken. It has to come true. But I can make some adjustments in that. And therefore, the benediction was given to the crow that even though he will be a crow, Ashvashir, he will still be remembering all the Vedas, he will still be Krishna conscious. He will be speaking Ramayana. He spoke Ramayana to Garuda. And as far as Vedashir was concerned, he said, I will arrange for your deliverance. So we can see that the consequence of material attachment and how a devotee must guard very carefully against material attachments. Nobody is free from this insidious problem which is at the foundation of our material existence, that is material attachment, selfishness, swarth. And therefore the Shastras speak about this principle. Atmendriya priti vancha tare vali kam krishnendri priti icha dhare premanam. when there is a desire to satisfy one's own senses, that is known as kama. When we desire to serve the senses of the Lord, then that is prema. Kama prema donahankara vibhina lakshana. Hema are loha yache swarupa vilakshana. So lust and love, they are having similar properties. And comparison is given. Lust can be compared to iron. Love can be compared to gold. They're both metals. That similarity is there. But one is valuable, one is useless. Iron is not useless, but it's not that valuable. So the Shastra says, just like that, lust and love do have certain things in common. So what is that principle? Principle is that they're both very powerful. Iron and gold both are metals. Lust and love both are very powerful. But the difference is that they are opposite in direction. In mathematics, we used to study the principle of vectors. Same magnitude, but opposite in direction. So the original propensity to love Krishna, when it is directed towards ourselves, then that love gets transformed into lust. So to the degree we have lust, to that degree there cannot be love. And therefore we see that even great, highly evolved jnanis, yogis, and even we have seen that in this case of even devotees are not free from lust till they become pure devotees. And therefore the warning here in Srimad Bhagavatam is that how careful we must be, because material attachment may spring, may sow the seed of offenses in the heart of a devotee. And therefore we have to be very careful. And there are so many such examples. Now this is the basic principle, how to treat a guest. Shastra says, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atiti Devo Bhava. That a guest must be respected, he must be given love, he should be treated with care. Even an enemy, if he comes into your house, he must be given so much love that he forgets his enmity. A basic principle which everybody knows in Vedic culture. Such a great rishi forgot this basic principle. And this guest was not just an ordinary guest, he was a great devotee. And this great offense was done because of material attachment. He forgot this principle. Recently, Baldev Prabhu was telling in that class which he gave on Ujjain, he was speaking about how this great king of Bhartur Hari, this great king, he loved his wife very much, very attached to his wife. But subsequently, he discovers that his wife is not faithful to him. So he becomes detached and he feels, what is the use of this world? There's no love to be found in this world. So he decides to leave the kingdom. Very rich, wealthy king. He was the ruler in Ujjain many years ago. So he leaves the kingdom and he becomes a renunciate. He becomes a Babaji, Vairagi. And he had a rival king who was his rival. And seeing the detachment of Bhartur Hari, he also gives up his kingdom. He also becomes Vairagi. And they both roaming around just with some jholi, with a very few possessions. And Bhartur Hari, he happens to come at the banks of a river and he wants to take a bath. So he puts on his gamcha, he ties his jholi, he wants to see a dry place to hang his luggage, this small little thing that he has, and he finds that someone had put a nail on a tree. So he puts his jholi on that nail and he goes to take a bath. So when he comes back, he finds, at that time, the rival king, who had also become a Babaji, a Vairagi, had come there, and he was also trying to find a dry place, couldn't find one, and he found that nail, and he found already somebody had hanged their clothes on that. So he also hangs his clothes on that. But when Bharturhari comes back and he finds that this another Vairagi, they did not know each other. They knew each other as rivals when they were kings, but now they did not recognize each other. So when he saw that somebody had put their cloth over his cloth, he becomes furious and he starts shouting, "What is this? How can he do this? How can you have not seen my cloth? It's already been reserved by me." And they both start fighting. And then one simple lady, she comes there and she says, "Why are you fighting for such a silly thing? See the example of Bharturhari, the great king, and the rival king who had given up this vast kingdom to become a renunciate. Learn from these great personalities." And then they become embarrassed. They realize their situation. And they quietly take their luggage and they go. So we can see how, it is so difficult to give up material attachments. Today is the disappearance day of Rasikanand. There's a wonderful story. Now, Rasikanand Prabhu has been one of the greatest unprecedented preachers in our Gaudiya Vaishnava history. And the Rasika Mangal, his biography, states that he has three wonderful qualities. First is his devotional qualities, his bhava, his love for Krishna. Secondly, his exquisite beauty. And thirdly, his preaching and his knowledge of Shastra. Unprecedented. His beauty was so exquisite that there was no need for him to even open his mouth to preach. If he would go in front of a king or he would go in front of some great personality, just by looking at him, his wonderful, broad, elongated eyes, his long arms, and his dazzling, effulgent personality, they would be led to think that this person is not an ordinary human being. He must be Supreme Lord Narayan. And then they bow down to him and they surrender to him. That was his appeal. His immense beauty. And when he would speak, he would be like Veda Vyas, Brihaspati. He was very learned, extremely learned. All the six systems of philosophy, the Puranas, the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutras. So, this story comes that once during his preaching in Utkal in Odisha, at that time the Supreme Lord Jagannath appears to the head pujari and reveals his desire to see Rasikananda Prabhu. So the message goes to the king and the king sends an invitation to Rasikananda Prabhu. So Rasikananda Prabhu is traveling from Gopiballapur to Jagannath Puri. And because he's such a great preacher, so many thousands and thousands of people start following him. And he's walking through the forests. So when he reaches Jagannath Puri, the residents of Jagannath Puri, they come to welcome him, the great devotee, the great Rasikananda Prabhu. They all come outside. But when they see along with Rasikananda Prabhu so many thousands of devotees, they feel that, how can we accommodate so many people? So they say, "Prabhu, I think that you will have to stay under these trees because it is difficult to make arrangements, accommodation facilities for so many people. So you could kindly live under the trees." So when that happened, that night, the houses of all the people in Jagannath Puri started catching fire. And all of them ran from their homes and fell at the feet of Rasikananda Prabhu and said that, we are sorry, we have offended you. And therefore, please, we would like to welcome you to our home." So therefore, the principle of welcoming devotees is a very important thing. So, you know, life is not about always receiving. It's about giving also. You know, and that is a very important principle, to give, to be detached. Therefore, Winston Churchill, he says that you may make a living out of what you get. You may make a living out of what you get, but you make a life out of what you give. And therefore, the Shastra always encourages detachment, vairagya. Gyan and vairagya is important. We may have gyan, but vairagya is also important, because that facilitates a service to the Lord. Once in Dwarka, Narad Muni was in the assembly hall of Sri Krishna, and Krishna was giving charity. And Narada saw a very strange thing, that Krishna was taking the charity and giving away with his left hand. So Narada said, "Oh Lord, why are you giving charity with your left hand? It is not auspicious." So Lord said, "Before I change my mind, let me give it in charity. Because any time our mind may change. So for something good, for giving, we should never think twice. For accepting, maybe we'll have to think twice. But for giving, let us not think." So therefore, this principle of detachment, giving, must be there. Our life becomes blessed when we give. When we give, it creates a room in our heart to receive. Because if you're just receiving, your heart is so full, or your life is so full with things, there's no room to get mercy of the Lord. Therefore, you know, there is a wonderful observation which has been made, that there is one sea known as, there are two seas. One is the Dead Sea, close to Egypt, Dead Sea, and a Sea of Galilee. So there is one river known as the River of Jordan. That one River of Jordan gives water to these two seas, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. Now, what is the difference between these two seas? The Dead Sea has no life. Therefore, it is called dead. There's no fish, there's no aquatics, there's no vegetation, there's no weeds, no nothing. It's absolutely dead. Why? So study was made, because the Dead Sea only receives water. It has no way to give out water, because the Dead Sea is way below the sea level. So all the water is flowing inside and it just keeps collecting. And the only way that it loses water is through the evaporation by the sun rays. So therefore, there's so much of concentration of minerals that it cannot maintain life. And therefore, it is dead. But the Sea of Galilee is vibrant with life. A lot of aquatics, different species of turtles, fish, a lot of seaweeds, a lot of nice habitation. So why is that so? Because the Sea of Galilee is letting out water. So therefore, in life, we see is just like this. If we are simply receiving and we are not sharing what we are receiving, the unlimited gifts of the Lord, which is coming in the form of so many things, but if we are not sharing, then life becomes stagnant. And there is no room for receiving grace of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the principle of charity, detachment, has been emphasized. Once somebody went to Sadhu and said that, "Sadhu Maharaj, I have heard that we should be detached. We have heard that we should be selfless. But how can we develop these qualities? We keep hearing, but how to develop these qualities? Please give us a solution." So Sadhu said, "Come here. Now do as I tell you to do. She's rocking. So he says, raise both your hands. So he raises both his hands. And he says, now you raise one leg. So he raises one leg. Then he says, now you raise the other leg also. He says, that's impossible. How can I do that? So the sadhu says, you can't do that. So now you do one thing. You look up. And he sees up. And he sees those banyan tree branches, shoots which are coming down. And he says, now you hold that with your hands. She holds it. And she says, now you lift your other leg. And then he lifts. He says, now you could lift. So now I can lift. So he said, that is the way you overcome lower attachments. When you can grip something higher, more powerful, then you can raise both your legs. And that is the message of the Gita also. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasovarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Till you have not developed that higher taste, it is very difficult to give up these attachments. And how can you develop that higher taste? That taste one can only develop when one is graced by a pure devotee of the Lord. When one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that rasa for the Supreme Lord's service is developed, then only one can give up attachments for these puny little things. And therefore, service is what is the emphasis. Atma indriya priti vancha tare bali kam krishna indriya priti ichha dhare prem naam. And therefore, we can see here. And what to speak of service? One has to. Then what to speak of devotees? Now, we are not just talking about service, but service to devotees, which is the highest principle. Highest principle. Yeah. And we can see in the lives of great saints like Rasikanand Prabhu. Again, there is a wonderful story that he was in Gopi Vallapur. He had organized a Ras festival for many days. And after the festival, he was giving charity. So all the devotees had come. And he was giving cloth, he was giving coconuts and other things as gifts. So two devotees who came, they were envious of Rasikanand Prabhu's success, prowess and his charisma and everything. So they started blaspheming him and they took the cloth, the gifts that Rasikanand gave him and threw it on him. So Rasikanand Prabhu, instead of becoming offended, he fell at the feet of this devotee and started saying that, please, O Vaishnavas, don't be offended by me. Maybe there's something that I did due to which you have been offended. Give me a chance to serve you. What can I do to please you? And they said, no, nothing. You are useless. Your preaching is useless. Everything is useless. We don't want to do anything with you. And they offend Rasikanand Prabhu and they go away from there. But Rasikanand Prabhu, we can see that even though these two people are outright offenders, it did not require any intelligence to find out that these people were not even devotees in one sense. Or maybe they're devotees, but they're offenders. But still Rasikanand Prabhu went with behind them begging service so that they can become, so that he can please those devotees. And those devotees went away, but by the Lord's wrath, these two devotees got serious terminal sickness. And they were on the deathbeds. And at that time, these two devotees realized that they had offended this great devotee. And they started glorifying Rasikanand Prabhu. Their opinion towards Rasikanand Prabhu changed completely. And then they started glorifying. They're saying that Rasikanand Prabhu is the greatest preacher the world has ever known. And he has been blessed by the Lord. And please forgive us, please forgive us. And Rasikanand Prabhu, with tears in his eyes, he was serving him. He was nursing them, and so much so that when they died, their funeral ceremony also was attended by Rasikanand Prabhu. That was the service attitude of Rasikanand Prabhu. Unimaginable. Today is also the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. there's a wonderful story that when he was in Vrindavan, somebody gave him some rotis. Some sweeper in Vrindavan gave him roti. So he ate the roti. So the caste Brahmins of Vrindavan, they took offense. They started finding faults with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And they told him that, how can you do this? Please give an explanation for this. And Jagannath Das Babaji started saying that devotees come to Vrindavan to take the dust of Vrindavan on their bodies and on their head. They worship the dust of Vrindavan. Then how glorious are those devotees who are serving those dust particles in Vrindavan. So how much we should serve them? They are great Vaishnavas. And then he quoted the Shastra. He said that how the Rishis had approached the Supreme Lord. 80,000 Rishis had approached the Supreme Lord. And he said that, the Lord said that take birth in Vrindavan in low caste families so that you can serve the dust. And therefore I am taking their remnants so that I can become free from my sinful reactions. So that was the service attitude of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Not just to anybody, but just to Vaishnavas. And therefore if we say that we should serve Vaishnavas, if we say devotees, you should be kind to Vaishnavas, we should serve Vaishnavas. This is actually a gross understatement. This would be a gross understatement because a devotee must be worshipped. You know, in the 11th canto, 14th chapter, 16th text is a wonderful verse where the Lord says, Nirapeksha munim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anubrajamyaham nityam puye yatyangri renubhi. Says that nirapeksha munim shantam, those devotees who are, those people who are nirapeksha, free from material desires, the pure devotees, munim, those who are constantly meditating on my pastimes, shantam, those who are peaceful, nirvairam, those who have no enemies, samadarshanam, those who are equal to all, anubrajamyaham nityam, I am constantly following in their footsteps. And why? Puye yatyangri renubhi. Because by walking behind these devotees, maybe some dust particles from their lotus feet will fall on our bodies, on my body, so that the universes within me and all the people, living entities within me will be purified by the dust particles coming from the lotus feet of my devotees. So even the Lord is worshipping the lotus dust particles of the pure devotees of the Lord. So therefore, here in this pastime, the indication of how Kaliya was the embodiment of malice, cunningness and cruelty. Because he was not free from material attachment. And here is a message that Srimad Bhagavatam gives, that one should try one's level best to use one's facility in the service of the Supreme Lord, in the service of the Vaishnavas. So, Lord Krishna, he finally, when he comes, and we can see that for 1.65 billion years, he has been in that position. So therefore, there is a warning here that if one enters into an argument with devotees, serious problem, because even the Lord cannot reverse the words or the curses spoken by Vaishnavas. Karma can be overcome, but a curse given out by a devotee who is chanting Hare Krishna can be very dangerous. 1.65 billion years. क्षिप्रम ही भवति धर्मात्मा शाश्वत शांति निगच्छति कौन्तेय प्रतिजानी ही नमे भक्त प्रणश्यति. इन द भगवद्गीता आचार्य इज गिवन एक्सप्लेनेशन दैट वाई इज लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेलिंग अर्जुना दैट यू डिक्लेयर टू द वर्ल्ड दैट माई डिवोटी नेवर पेरिशेस बिकॉज द वर्ल्ड नोज दैट लॉर्ड कृष्णा हैज ब्रोकन हिज प्रॉमिस बट द वर्ल्ड नोज दैट द लॉर्ड ऑलवेज कीप्स द वर्ड ऑफ हिज डिवोटीज एंड देयरफॉर द लॉर्ड इज मेकिंग अर्जुना डिक्लेयर टू द वर्ल्ड दैट Arjuna, you declare that my devotee never perishes. So therefore, everybody knows that what is comes out from the mouth of the devotees of the Lord has to come true. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says that get into trouble with devotees. If there is a curse, both have to suffer for a very long time. Therefore, in the Durvas pastime, Ambarish Maharaj was offended by Durvas, and Durvas is roaming around all in the universe. He goes to Lord Vishnu. Vishnu says, Aham bhakta paradino yas svatantra ivadvija. Sadhuvir grastho hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriya. I have no independence. Whatever my devotee has said is said. I cannot do anything to you. So go back. So therefore it is said, there's a saying in English. It takes a lot more trouble to get oneself back together than it takes to fall apart. It's easy to fall down, difficult to get up. So that is the idea here. So Lord Krishna is subduing Kaliya here. He's purifying him by the dance. He's dancing on Kaliya. He's purifying him. He's taming Kaliya, taming a serpent. So why is Krishna dancing on Kaliya? He's taming him, it's all right. But why is Krishna dancing on Kaliya? You can take out poison from a snake. You know, how do you conventionally remove poison from a snake? Generally, you take a snake. You know, if you see any, read any manual, how you can take out the poison from a snake, you take a glass and you press the fangs of the snake on the glass and the serpent comes out. It's relatively easy. But there's another way of taking out poison from the snake is take a ruler or something, take a rod and you hit it on the head. And that way also the poison will come out, but the snake may die in the process. That's another way. But the Lord is in a very amazing way, he's taking out the poison and subduing him and taming him by dancing on his head. Why is that? So, the reason is that Krishna is Rasika Shekhar, Rasasara Sarovar. He is the embodiment of all rasas. And he does not fail to excite his devotees. He does not fail to draw the hearts of his devotees. And therefore, by dancing on the Kaliya's hoods, he is presenting such a wonderful, he is displaying such a wonderful work of art. Was dancing so beautifully that he was attracting the hearts of all the Brajabasis. Because dancing on a snake is no ordinary activity. To dance, what is the most critical item in dance? There are so many dancers here, amazing dancers. What is the most critical aspect of a good dancer? It is balance. Fundamental thing. If you don't have balance, you cannot dance. That's why devotees sometimes they go round and round and round, but after some time they lose their balance and they fall. But if you can keep doing that, go round and so therefore, for a dancer, the platform is very important. That's why Hindi mein bolte na, nachna aave aangan tedo. If you don't know dancing, you blame the ground for it. But here Krishna is dancing on not just a flat ground, but he's dancing on a moving platform. That is on the head of the serpent. Never been done before and never will be done. What an amazing display of art. So that is Krishna. What an amazing. So why is he dancing? There's another reason which is that. Where did Krishna learn to dance like that? So this is a nice story in the Shastras. So once all the coward boys of Krishna सुबल सुदामा श्रीदामा स्तोक कृष्ण विशाल ऋषभ वरुत्तप ऑल ऑफ देम गैदर्ड एट गोवर्धन एंड ऑल द कावर्ड बॉयज टेल कृष्ण दैट टुडे वी विल डांस फॉर योर प्लेजर कृष्ण सेज ऑल राइट सो कृष्ण एंड बलराम दे सिट एंड ऑल द कावर्ड बॉयज दे टेक आउट देयर टर्बन क्लॉथ्स टाइड टू देयर वेस्ट एंड दे स्टार्ट डांसिंग 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 And Krishna is applauding. Bravo, bravo. Amazing dance, amazing dance. Dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. After that, they said, okay, now Krishna and Balaram, you dance. We want to see you dance. And then Krishna says, all right. So he takes out his turban, ties it on his waist, and he starts dancing. And all the coward boys, the eyes become large. All the deers, the cows, the peacocks on Govardhan Hill, their eyes become large and they're stunned. And they're coming forward, coming forward, coming forward to the edge of the mountain and were about to fall from the edge of the mountain. When Yoga Maya somehow makes an arrangement that even though they reach the edge, they don't fall. Lord's Yoga Maya potency in Vrindavan. They were simply stunned. They could not imagine that a person could dance like that. And they all said, Krishna and Balaram, you are the best dancers. Krishna, you are the best dancers. Nobody can dance to you. What movements, what hand movements, what feet movements. You are simply amazing. You are the most artistic dancer. You are simply amazing. How did you learn to dance like that? Simply amazing. So Krishna started saying, yeah, that's for sure. I am the best dancer. Who can compare with me? Can you compare with me? No, I am the best. When it comes to dancing, I am the best. There's no doubt about it. So then Sridharma comes there and he says, Krishna, don't you think it is important to acknowledge where you have learnt your dancing from? And Krishna becomes a little shy and he says, yes, yes. And he says, my guru is Srimati Radharani. I learnt dancing from her. So when Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kalia, he's actually glorifying his guru. By saying that, look, I am not an ordinary dancer because I have learned from my guru. And therefore, to present an art more beautifully, which cannot be compared with anything in this world, he chooses to dance on a moving platform. And as Kalia's hood was coming up, Krishna would jump on that hood and push it down with his foot, thump it and thrash it, and then it would go down. And then as another hood would come up, he would jump into that hood and then he would keep dancing like that. And what an amazing display where Krishna is glorifying his guru, dance guru, Gandharvika. Therefore, Radharani is Gandharvika. She taught all the Gandharvika arts of singing, dancing to Krishna. So that way Krishna is dancing and he's attracting the hearts of the devotees of Vrindavan. And of course there are many pastimes of devotees taming animals. One story of Rasikanand Prabhu is there. There was in Vannapur in Odisha, there was a king, a Muslim king. His name was Ahmad Beg. And he was a tyrant, he was a terrorist. He took great pleasure in harassing devotees. And he wanted to arrest Rasikanand Prabhu. He was a great preacher. He was becoming very famous. Lot of influence in Odisha. So the Vaishnava ministers, devotees, the Hindus, they started suggesting that please don't ever dare arrest Rasikanand Prabhu. He is a great Vaishnav, great calamity will befall on your family. Don't do it. So he says, okay, if he is such a great saint, let's see. There is a wild elephant wandering in the forest. If he can tame that elephant, then I will accept that he is some saint. So there was this elephant who was like running around, killing people, destroying property. So when Rasikananda entered into that capital of the city, so that elephant comes in front of him. Everybody run away. Rasikananda is standing right in front of the elephant. And the elephant comes when he's about to trample upon Rasikananda, Rasikananda Prabhu takes some water and sprinkles on the elephant. And immediately that elephant experiences a transformation of his consciousness. He bends down on his knees, kneels down, and he offers obeisances to Rasikananda Prabhu. And Rasikananda Prabhu in his ear, he chants the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And he gives him initiation and gives him the name Gopal Das. He gives that name to the elephant, Gopal Das. Subsequently, it so happens that Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki. Subsequently, it so happens that Gopal Das was sent back into the forest. One day when Rasikananda Prabhu was going from village to village for preaching, in the middle of the night, he lost his way along with his devotees. And he did not know where he was, and they were all hungry. Just at that time, this Gopal Das, the elephant, came to know that Rasikananda Prabhu is in the forest, and he comes there, and all the devotees start getting frightened, and they run away from there. So immediately, Gopal Das, he says, he goes to the neighbors, collects rice, and gives it to Rasikananda Prabhu. Such is the power of not just Krishna who is taming a serpent, but also of this great Acharya, Rasikananda Prabhu. So finally, of course, that we can learn so many lessons from this. And here, at the end of this Leela, we can see that how the Nagapatnis, the devotees of the Lord, are praying for Kaliya. And therefore, at the end of it, if you want to be saved, if you want to get the mercy, if you want to become free from the anarthas, easily, then the easiest process is through service of devotees by which they'll pray for us. And the devotee who will pray for us is the Guru, the pure devotees of the Lord. When you serve the Guru, the breach which we have caused in our relationship with Krishna can be bridged by the mercy of the Guru. And that is the moral, that Kaliya, who was cursed by a Vaishnava, is being saved by the prayer of a devotee. And that is the moral. So, and therefore we have to, if we, all of us have that Kaliya mentality. Kaliya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, is the personification of malice, cunningness and cruelty. So to the degree we have these qualities, we cannot enter into Vrindavan. Even if we enter into Vrindavan, we will be like Kaliya. But Krishna does not want such people in Vrindavan. So if we really want to enter Vrindavan, we have to become free from these qualities. Because these are the poison within us. This is the disease within us. And for this disease, the Guru gives us medicine. Guru is like the doctor. And doctor gives tablets. So like that, Guru has given us a tablet. 16 tablets per day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And these tablets have to be taken with water. The water, the sweat that we put in through our sadhana, the tears of separation that we experience from the Lord. So if we regularly take these medicines, we'll also become free from the poisonous effects, this disease of malice, cruelty and cunningness, and enter into the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.